W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. It's 18 years in prison for Oath Keepers founder Stuart Rhodes. Or is it? His attorney, Edward Tarpley, plans to appeal his conviction and sentence for his involvement in the Capitol insurrection, saying his free speech rights have been violated.
He never went into the Capitol. He never assaulted anyone. He never destroyed any property. We argued all those matters during the trial and post-trial. And clearly, the words of Stuart Rhodes is what the judge returned to time and time again, what he had said over a long period of time.
The judge says Rhodes was responsible for much of the violence on January 6th. The former Florida Oath Keepers leader has also been sentenced to prison for 12 years, both men convicted of seditious conspiracy. House and White House negotiators are trying to make a deal to keep the country out of default. CBS News White House correspondent Weijia Jiang has learned what the president's team is proposing.
The current proposal on the table from the White House includes extending the debt ceiling until 2025. So if there were to be some sort of a showdown over the debt ceiling again, it would at least be after the 2024 presidential election. This is not something that the White House wants the president to go through again publicly in this way. Secondly, it would rescind unspent COVID relief funds, and it would freeze spending for 2 years.
Negotiating highways and airports has become a national pastime again, just in time for Memorial Weekend. WUSA-TV's Matt Gregory.
We've seen a steady stream of travelers here at Reagan National Airport, with security lines at times backing up across the entire room as this airport and airports around the country brace for what is going to be one of the busiest Memorial Day travel weekends in recent memory, with the busiest air travel day being today, not tomorrow.
AAA says more than 43 million people will travel 50 miles or more from home this weekend. Johns Hopkins graduates have heard from a surprise commencement speaker, Ukraine's President Zelensky, via live stream, telling them to make the best possible use their time on the planet.
Eventually realizes that time is the most valuable resource on the planet.
For those hoping to get off of the Earth, Virgin Galactic has just flown its suborbital space plane with people and passengers for the first time in 2 years. Paying customers could be next. CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood.
Virgin has launched 6 missions so far with company pilots and passengers on board, including founder Richard Branson. But it hasn't yet launched any paying customers. The company is hoping that this latest test flight will clear the way for commercial operations to begin as early as next month.
Wall Street, the Dow closed down 35 points. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Quote based on healthy non-smoking 30-year-old female with a 20-year term policy. Rates may vary. Eligible policies and estate planning tools can vary by state.
It's a busy life. You have enough to worry about. So here's a great way to check life insurance off your list. It's called Ethos. With the thought of medical exams, forms to fill out, and the cost, it's easy to see why life insurance can fall to the bottom of your to-do list. But at Ethos Life, we've got your back. For about $1 a day, you could get $250,000 in term life insurance without a medical exam. Just go online, answer a few health questions, and snap, family protected. You could get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and be covered in hours. No medical exams, no blood tests, no hassle. Right now, with your purchase of an eligible policy from Ethos, you'll get something else important to your family. Tools to create a legal will. A $449 value, yours free. Ethos, the 100% online, hassle-free way to get affordable life insurance. Get your free online quote now at ethoslife.com. That's ethoslife.com.
Bug Tussle has been your trusted rural internet provider since 2003. Based in Wisconsin and backed by local support, Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet where others can't or won't. At an honest price, without any contracts or data caps, Bug Tussle has the plan that's right for you. Get connected with Bug Tussle today for internet, cellular, and entertainment by calling 877-227-0924. That's 877-227-0924. Or visit btussle.com.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows around 36. Tonight, under clear skies, winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Bright sunshine expected again. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 74. Mainly clear. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 45. Dry with temperatures a bit above average. Saturday and Sunday, and highs in the upper 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 68.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This means it is a Thursday in Wisconsin. It's absolutely beautiful weather. I am loving today. A little windy, as though Wisconsinites say. It would be nice if it weren't for the wind.
Correct. I would have been fishing if it wasn't for the wind today.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I mean, I would have been working if... Yeah, I was working all day. 10 hours a day. Back to those summer hours. So, woohoo! Yay me! All right, so this... Do you hear... 10 hours a day. Back to those summer's hours. Do you guys hear you?
Little echo.
Yeah. All right, so this, do you hear me? This.
I hear you loud and clear, but in a good way, Danielle.
So, hello. I hear sure ourselves replaying in the headphones.
How about now?
What
did I do?
Nope, I hear it again. Oh, well. Well, if you guys can
double... hear it again?
Yeah, like I can still hear us.
Like a playback.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay.
Perfect.
Now I did magic.
Everybody, this is our wonderful producer, Anastasia. We love her so much. She is the magic touch over there. Thank you very much. All right, let's start over. Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. There is no echo. I am very, very, very excited about this because I've had just a mother... daughter or mother son or just a father's son, whatever, but we have three-fourths of the family. Mm-hmm. I'm super excited about this. Well, we're going to include the dog too. Mm-hmm. Their dog Ranger is not here. I was super excited, as most of you guys know, about my dog Ranger, so I was so super excited. But this just means you guys have to come back with Ranger and Gunner.
Yeah, Gunner.
That's another topic for another day.
Gunner is the dog Amanda and I are trying to convince him to get. So, which I feel like everybody should call 844-967-2789 to help us convince them.
Yes.
All right. So, let me introduce you guys. Amanda, Jace, Matt, Tojek. This is, you know how I am with social media. I follow a few people religiously. And I always see you post about everything. And you have the family along with you all the time. And it's literally an inspiration. I don't have any kids myself. Like, one day maybe I'll have a kid, who knows, but my dog Bandit is my kid right now. He goes everywhere with me, but I can't imagine. You guys have two kids, a boy and a girl. I don't... how old are you, Jace?
Nine.
And how old is Shayna?
She's seven.
And like, that's like the perfect age. Mm-hmm. You guys are enjoying the outdoors, aren't you?
Yeah.
What's your first memory of going out with your mom or dad?
Like the first one,
like going out hunting or fishing?
I think my first memory going hunting or fishing, it would be fishing with my dad with my first rod.
Yeah? What was it like? Do you remember it?
I think it was a St. Croix.
Yeah? What were you catching?
I think that day we were catching bluegills.
Bluegills? That's perfect.
Yeah.
That's perfect to start off. And
gotta start somewhere.
How nice is it for him to remember that? Like, that's his memory to come up with.
He's got a lot of memories. The last couple of years, yeah, he's been busy. So we've been getting a lot of firsts and a lot of topping. And he's got me beat on a few species. So.
Oh, does... do you?
Yeah.
What species do you know?
The salmon.
Salmon?
A king salmon.
I was not expecting that. That yeah, makes me very happy. So tell me about your king salmon.
So my king salmon was... How many pounds is it?
Yeah, it was 25 pounds, 7 Ooh, ounces or so.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I was reeling it in, it was really hard.
What happened when you were reeling that fish in for about 15 minutes?
No.
You can say.
No, you can.
regardless, he did not make it the whole time. He had to take a potty break halfway through.
A potty break?
It was so long of a fish that, you know, obviously was peel and drag like crazy.
Oh, yeah, I believe
Biggest salmon I've ever had in my boat. And he did it all 100% himself besides that 1 minute potty break. I just held the rod, held pressure on the fish as it was peeling.
Nice.
And then he took over. And
hey, when nature calls, you got to go. You got to go.
Yep.
It's going to happen later on in life again, too. It won't be your last. Joel will be so proud that I already brought up, you know, going to the bathroom in the outdoors in my first segment. He's going to be very proud of us right now. speaking of, I forgot to introduce myself and Joel. I'm your co-host, Danielle Fairman. Joel, our mighty, mighty fearless leader, he is in Africa.
Lucky.
I know. I would love to go to Africa. I would love to go overseas hunting or fishing or anything.
What's the after out there, or down there, I should say?
I should be a good friend / co-host and know this.
Something cool.
Something. We'll he always does something cool.
Yeah.
Like, he is living the life that I want to live. One day I could. Who knows? Who knows? We could get there. But yeah, he went out there, I believe, yesterday or Tuesday night.
Okay.
And he'll be out there for 2 weeks. So next week, you guys got me too. Or is next week June 1st?
I believe so.
On June 1st, we will have actually a rerun. So hopefully this episode, maybe we can take another episode on here right away. But I'll be gone as well. I have to do a MC auctioneer thing for a banquet. So I will be gone as well. But Amanda.
Yes.
Hello. Hi. How's it going?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So what's your hunting and fishing memories?
Well, Matt was the one that first introduced me to hunting and fishing when I was 15. He was 17. So.
Oh, whoa. Wait a minute. How long have you guys known each other?
20 years together.
Aw.
Yeah. High school.
Yep.
Oh, that's so perfect.
My first diamond was a Bowtech, so. Yep.
Nice.
Your first bowl was a diamond.
Diamond.
Bolt. No, I understand what she said. I understand that diamond. Yeah. I just got my first diamond earrings. So I'm very excited about it. I know what you meant by that.
Yeah.
But that's perfect. What were you shooting with that first bow? Do you still have it?
Yes, I do, actually. It's set up for bow fishing now. So he just upgraded me to a Muzzy after our Gulf Shores fishing experience.
We are going to get to that on the second segment because I want to hear all about these stingrays.
It's amazing.
Because... What?
Fun trip, Second time down there, and it's a must-do if you're ever down in the Gulf. That saltwater bow fishing is on another level compared to what we have up here.
Yeah, we're going to leave that for the next time. Okay, so back to your diamond.
Yes. So we did a couple turkey hunts, and then I had babies and opened a salon, so I was on a hunting hiatus for a little bit. But
yeah, so you're a little busy.
Yeah. Yep, but we just always fished together, too. So
yeah, you guys have tons of pictures together.
Mm-hmm.
It is so perfect. It's like you guys are the inspirational family. Yep.
Usually I catch the first one.
No.
Yeah. Oh. Well, now that you're, you know, master of the boat, you catch them all first usually. But mom was the first.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm always the last. I feel like when I go out fishing with people, I'm like, well, you know, my time will come. It'll happen. Well, when I went out salmon fishing probably about 3 weeks ago.
Sure.
With Mike Keller on his new boat, and it was absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you guys got a lot of fish that day.
We had a five. There's what, three? You can get three per person.
Five.
Because
three lines.
You might
be thinking of three lines.
Yeah, I'm thinking of three lines per person. Yep. There were five people. I'm like, that makes sense because math. We limited out 25. Okay. Math is hard sometimes. Leave me alone.
No math on the radio.
But we did pretty good. And I forgot what it was like to eat those. I haven't fished for salmon or coho or anything like that for like 6-7 months prior.
Yeah.
And it was just...
That's why I got into it, is just because these guys love eating it. Same thing with all the species. But salmon, we went out Monday and we had it 3 hours later on the grill. So.
Oh, you went out Monday?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to ask where you went, but like, what was your salmon trip like?
Yeah, we did actually real good. First trip out, finally the wind played nice and it was almost glass out there.
Ooh.
And I took my stepdad out and we got 9 out of 10. We had 9 for 12.
Yeah.
And we fished that last hour trying to get that 10th, but just did not happen. But we had a few doubles, lost one king, It was fun, but all real good eater cohos.
Is your dad does he fish often for salmon? Is this like newer to him?
No, this is something that I just kind of picked up the last 3 years.
Oh, really?
I work with some guys that kind of talked me into it. I was doing mostly walleye, muskie, mm-hmm. and bull fishing, and then I work at Oak Creek Power Plant, so I see all these guys salmon fishing all the time.
And, that has to be so daunting. Like, I just want to swim out there with you right now.
Especially when it's glass, and then you're one day off, it's 4-footers, so... So, yeah, they talked me into it, and it's addictive, especially when you get a big king on like Jace. I mean, we got a lot of fish over 20 pounds last year. So you get any kings of that size, they fight a lot differently than, you know, any other species.
They definitely do.
Very fun.
Yeah, reeling them out when they're 100-plus out there.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely get tired. I get bruises definitely for putting it on my stomach, trying to reel it in. I'm like, what is this bump? Why am I sore here the next 2 days? I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Definitely reeling those babies in. Yep. But what kind of boat do you have for that? The same boat that you did for walleye fishing?
Yeah, so right now I have a multi-species boat. So I fish out of a 20-foot fiberglass Ranger, and I got it set up for salmon, for muskies, and walleyes are kind of the main three we go after.
Yeah.
We got a camper up on Castle Rock Lake, and so we fish there quite a bit, and that's total multi-species. So catfish, white bass, ooh, bluegills, walleyes, everything. Anything that bites for the most part. And then switch it out for salmon, and then the next day I switch it out for muskies. So just kind of...
I've never gone muskie fishing.
I was going to this morning.
I keep saying I want to, but this is as far as it goes. I want to do it, but...
It's a battle. It's a grind.
And probably two other people I know that actually set up for muskie fishing.
Yeah, we do a lot. We travel. I mean, fishing local is kind of tough, but Green Bay is an awesome fishery, so we do go up there quite a bit.
Yeah.
And do fairly well up there, but... it's a grind. It's not for everybody. Like, I haven't brought him into it because, you know, my thing with him is when he's willing and ready and asks to go, then I'll take him.
I've went with you just...
bass fishing. Yeah,
I went bass fishing, but him and his dad, he went muskie fishing.
Yeah. You're a little small to be throwing the big one-pounders.
They're pretty hard to catch.
Yeah. And just reeling those babies in. Some of them are even bigger than the... a salmon and everything.
Yeah, kings, they can be. They can be. I got baits that are 2 pounds. So yeah, you're feeling it from the end of a day.
And you're just trolling like you do for walleye and
casting
salmon.
Mostly. Yep.
Oh, for muskies?
Yep.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, we prefer casting. We do a lot of trolling up in Green Bay later in the year in the fall. And then that's gravy. That's just like going out on, you know, salmon fishing, just kind of relaxing, watching your planer boards and hopefully you get a rip.
But see, we're going out walleye fishing this weekend up near Oshkosh area.
Sure.
And then we're going to travel around because when you fish the same lakes over and over, you're just like, okay, well, let's go try something new.
Yeah, it's good to get out and try different stuff. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'm trying to convince Bill to go out bass fishing, but he is a hardcore waterfowler. Oh, not waterfowler, sorry. Walleye fisherman.
Yeah.
WW, whatever. And we catch him. We definitely catch him, but I want to go bass fishing. Mm-hmm. And then just... so let me go bass. I want to catch the big old bucket mouth, and I just want to hold it.
I'm the same way as him.
Belly just drooping.
It's hard to go bass fishing after everything else, but if I have the kids in the boat, then it's, all right, game on.
Yeah, with walleye, you're trolling nonstop, but with bass fishing, you're just standing there casting.
We like to eat a few, though, so I guess that's where we like the walleyes.
Yeah.
So he's still on that, which is good.
Yeah, well, perfect. Well, when we get back, we're going to talk about... the golf trip. I am very looking forward to this because I definitely creeped and showed tons of people the Steenray. And I want to know about Steenrays. I want to know about all this golfing trip because one day, who knows what happens. Oh, and we have a caller. We'll get to the caller when we get back.
Did you know Broadfest, the annual Memorial Day weekend event in Madison, is 40 years old? Its history is pretty rich, too, when the grocery store-owning Metcalf family set up a brat tent in the store parking lot to sell brats to customers. By 2004, more than 180,000 brats were being sold in the parking lot. Okay, so now can you guess how many gallons of ketchup are needed for the brats every year? 30 gallons? 45? 74 gallons? The answer coming up. These days, the fest isn't just about the Brats.
You know, we have a kids zone, we have a farm zone, we have a sports zone, just not really like anything else.
That's Michael Alexander, one of the organizers.
Roughly 150,000 of our closest and dearest friends.
And more numbers. 4 million Brats over 40 years, raising $2.5 million, supporting more than 120 nonprofits. And the amount of ketchup used? 74 gallons. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You've decided to expand your family with a furry friend, so what's next? Do you have enough space? What are the right foods? Get the answers to these questions and more at WFHR's Petpalooza on the Southwood County Humane Society grounds, June 11th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Local pet experts will be on hand to answer all your questions, and the Humane Society will be open to discuss the adoption process. All this plus live music, food trucks, and food and direct sales vendors. It's a real petcation, June 11th from 10 to 4 for WFHR's Petpalooza.
It's time to turn Fridays into Fry-yays with WFHR.halfoffdeal.com. You'll find deals for spots around town like restaurants, spas, and more. This Friday at 8 a.m., you'll save 50% on another great local business. This week's deal is from Papa John's in Stevens Point. Get a $50 gift card for just $25. That's right, 50 for just 25 from Papa John's in Stevens Point. What's better than pizza? Papa John's at half price. Save this Friday at 8 a.m. at WFHR.halfoffdeal.com.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Me. How do you feel about that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, geez, you could at least fight for it. All right. So yeah, let's talk about turkey hunting. Tell me about your turkey.
So when we got there, we actually heard turkeys gobbling before we even got to the blind. So we were trying to stay quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we got to the blind, we started setting out all our decoys. And then once we were done with that, we got my gun loaded, make sure the safety was on. And then my dad, we heard a turkey behind us, like 80 yards behind us.
Yeah.
And so my dad started calling him in. He told me that he would come like to the right. And then about like 15 minutes later, he came in.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came, his tail feathers were up. He was coming for the Jake.
Yeah.
And then once he got there, he started beating up the Jake.
Oh, did he? I've never seen an actual turkey fight a Jake before.
Yeah, with his spurs, he was like hitting him.
Oh my
gosh,
kicking him, huh?
How'd you feel about that? Were you just like smiling?
I never saw that happen before.
No.
So he was facing the other way, so I couldn't get a shot. And then he turned around, and then I shot in the head.
In the head?
Yeah.
Not in the neck and in the head? You got
right in the head.
Right in the head?
Right in the face.
Right in the face. Nice. What did you do? Were you super excited?
I was super excited, but he did like the death flop.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the death flop gets me sometimes too.
Yeah, you can't walk up to it when it's doing that.
No, because what will happen?
He'll kick you with your spurs and you just get cut up everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Those things are very, very sharp.
Yeah.
You must have been listening to me all these years, huh?
Look at that. Yeah. See, now you guys got to be so proud.
And he got me beat on that one, too. That was the heaviest bird that I've ever seen down here, at least. So,
yeah.
Do you remember how heavy the bird was, Jace?
I think
2511.
So it's almost the same as a salmon.
Yeah.
Oh, look at you. So we're going to say mid-20s is your lucky number. We got to figure out your lucky number. What about the beard? How long was the beard? Do you remember?
I think it was around 10 inches.
10 inches? Nice.
Yep.
So, also, when we got home, we made turkey nuggets instead of chicken nuggets.
Ooh.
And then we also, my dad shot one, I think it was like a year ago, so we were both doing our turkey mounts.
Perfect.
Oh, we did the fans, yeah.
The fans.
Had them on the board, and of course, Chase is about 2 inches, a little bit bigger, a little wider.
I feel like you got some competition growing up.
That's good. I'll take
He's going to kick your booty.
Keeps me motivated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what about your sister? Do you ever think you bring your sister out?
Maybe, but
She's not as quiet as you, I think.
She's a talker.
She'll be talking a lot.
Yeah. She'll be talking a lot, but if you're in a ground blind, you can kind of talk and move.
True.
Because I'm a chick. I like talking too.
When you're shooting, you can't move your barrel, otherwise they'll probably run.
Because their eyesight's superb, yeah. Right? Yeah, my turkey hunting,
he was looking like straight at us.
Was
though.
He?
Oh. So then I got a shot before he ran.
Good job. With me, I didn't get a turkey. You beat me.
Did you see any on your nights out?
Goodness, I did. And man, oh man. So I went out. I'm hunting four fields. Three of them are smaller ones and then one big one. And there's like a big old swamp right in the middle. So it's just straight mosquitoes. Whatever. It happens. And as I'm walking out, I see a hen over here. I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm going to stop and like sneak around the other way because it was before shooting time. And she's down already, just grazing around. I'm like, why are you here? Can you not be? Okay. So then I walk around to another spot, and I see some more hens, and all of a sudden I hear a gobble, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to sneak into here and everything. And then I hear another gobble, and I'm calling back, and it's just me. I go up hunting by myself mostly. And, Bill's always working or fishing. Sure. And then I choose turkey hunting. And then just gobble, 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 and all of a sudden they just shut up. Because all of a sudden, some coyotes just come running through all the fields. And I'm like, oh, so you guys just scared away my turkeys. So
reminds me, my dad was going turkey hunting, and he shot a coyote.
Yeah, good. You're saving the other birds. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Saving all the animals.
My grandma found just, like, the wings of a bird because a coyote ate all of the other part.
Yeah. They're kind of a pest. We have to get rid of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about the big coyotes, the wolves. The last segment. Stay tuned if you want to talk about the wolves. Give us a call at 844-967-2789 to talk about your turkey hunting. But for my turkey, when I came back from lunch and take my nap, I got out there right to where my decoys were because I left them out. And the turkey just went bloop and just walked right back into the woods. And then I didn't see anything for the rest of the night, didn't hear anything for the rest of the night. The next morning, I heard them, but they were never coming by me. They would talk back to me, but nothing.
Sure. They
nothing
can be tough.
Nothing at all. And then I saw Jake got close, but I don't know what was in the woods. And all of a sudden, it just said nope and turned around and walked away. I'm like, oh, well, this is not my year for turkey hunting.
Didn't you say, like, there was, like, I think there was, didn't you say there was another hen, like, in, like, the back of the field? Like, didn't you see something back there?
My turkey hunt lasted 3 hours this year. I worked all but one day, so I had one morning to hunt.
Yeah.
And I just went out to the same blind we had set up for him, and I had a real hen in my spread and my decoys, and she was in there all morning, 45 minutes or so. I just kept calling, and she's grazing around, whatever. I was actually playing on my phone. I kind of see something out of the corner of my eye, and a yote came running out about 100 yards, just locked right in on that live hen. Mm-hmm. So I squealed with my lips real quick, and it kind of turned him, and he came up towards my Jake and my hen. But then, of course, the live hen took, you know, he was just locked on her. So he turned, I squeaked, and shot at probably about 40 yards and just rolled it. So
nice.
Got lucky on that one. So no turkey for me, but at least we helped the farmer out. He's very appreciative of turkeys and coyotes.
Nice.
He wants them all gone. But
didn't he say, like, he eats his crops and stuff?
Yep, mm-hmm. They do a lot of damage. The turkeys, he's a vegetable farmer. And
And
they go in there and wreak havoc, and obviously the coyotes are eating his chickens.
Oh, yeah, that definitely happens. And just like that, we're already halfway over. I don't understand why this is the fastest hour I've ever had. When we get back, I want to talk to you about your turkey hunting. Have you gone turkey hunting?
Just in the early years.
Early years. Yeah. All right,
we'll get her back.
We still haven't talked about the darn
the golf
trip.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate when this happens. Stay tuned. We also have the interview with Ted Nugent. Stay tuned. 844-967-2789.
Break me when the words you said just tore my heart in.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope, to give them hope that mom is going to be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemiss.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Hi, it's Jim Polzin from Badger Extra and the Wisconsin State Journal. Have you checked out BadgerExtra.com or the Badger Extra app powered by our top-notch Badger coverage team? Subscribe now to get extra coverage, including extra analysis, extra recruiting news, and one-on-one athlete interviews. Plus, subscribers get my exclusive podcast, Open Gym, where I answer your Badger questions. Go to BadgerExtra.com or search Badger Extra in your app store. Download and subscribe today.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
Bandana, check. Boots, check. Gloves, check. As a motorcycle rider in Wisconsin, you may go to great lengths to protect your image. Just be sure you're protecting yourself, too. Wear a Department of Transportation-approved helmet. Perform safety checks on your motorcycle. Know the traffic laws and don't take risks. Motorists and motorcyclists can work together to achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roads. Zero in Wisconsin. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows around 36, tonight under clear skies, winds out of the east 5 to 10 miles per hour. Bright sunshine expected again, tomorrow daytime highs approaching 74. Mainly clear, tomorrow night lows level off around 45. Dry with temperatures a bit above average, Saturday and Sunday, and highs in the upper 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 68.
Former co-workers, Cornfield and Ground Blind. And
I don't even remember that. That's how long ago it was.
Yeah, oh, no. I guess he used to feed his turkeys out of his hot tub or something is what I remember. Yeah, they used to come right up to his hot tub and he'd feed them. Who was that? I don't remember now. But
It was a blast. You harvested a turkey, though.
No, not that year. No, haven't yet. So Jace has one up to me so far.
Oh, we have to get you out then.
We do.
Now that the kids are both, you know, an older age or a little easier to get a babysitter for, we can get Amanda back out in the field a little bit.
That'd be perfect.
That's this year's goal. Yeah. Jace is going to be doing hunter safety, so he'll be my co-partner and all that fun stuff coming up. So
I feel like there was three topics in there I want to talk about, but I'm going to stop getting sidetracked.
Yeah.
Please, please, please tell me about this golf.
Oh, it's the most beautiful place ever.
Yeah, you said your happy place. What did you post? You
home, well, it was mostly Amanda's happy place.
Yeah, yeah, we went down there summers, you know, or spring breaks. My grandparents used to rent down there, and it's just a beautiful place. So finally I got to get him to see the magic of it and then, you know, rope him in with some bow fishing too. So.
I said I'd go, but we gotta shoot something if we're going south. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, your pictures, you're smiling ear to ear.
Oh, it was a blast.
It looked like so peaceful, the greatest trip ever.
It was. It was awesome.
So how did you find these stingrays to shoot?
Oh, well, there's a calmer bay that they took us in. So, you know, it's just, it's so clear, you know, they're just right there and just majestic and so much slower to shoot than carp. You know, those suckers are wiggly and
they are.
Yeah.
They?
Yeah. So, and then
poof of dust and all on the ground. Not dust, obviously, but
they're very unpressured down there. It's not as popular as up here. So, the fish you do see, they do run a little bit here and there, but you can, you can shoot pretty much anything in Alabama, which is cool. So anything, you know, no redfish, no dolphin, obviously, but you know, we had big black drum, big southern rays, Atlantic rays, cow nose rays, and they fight really, really, really well. So, I mean, you need 2, 3, 4 arrows. This guy we were with, just me and her.
Yeah, we were just tag teaming.
Yeah, he had 8 bows set up, and I'm like, looking, I'm like, man, it's just me and her. And he's like, oh, you'll never know. If you shoot a 100 pounder, we want 8 arrows in it.
Wow.
So you got to be ready because they're there. So we that night we shot about a 30. Which is, you know, a decent-sized southern ray.
She's heavy.
But, yeah, and it pulls just like a big buffalo that you'd shoot up here.
I'll say that. You shoot them right in the smack there of their body, right in their head, pretty much anywhere.
They get a little fragile out in the wings.
Yeah.
And then we actually gigged for flounder, which was something different on the trip, which was kind of cool. And that's
gigged
them, So it's just basically a spear, and you roll up with the lights and just ease it into the water and get it, you know, 3-4 inches from it. And just a quick little stab, and they were delicious.
They were fabulous.
Yeah. Were they? So how did you prepare them? Did they cut them up for you? What was it like? Did you flay them?
I did them in the condo.
It was rough.
I feel like this is a fun story.
With a very dull steak knife. Because I did not have a fillet knife. I figured he would have done them quick for me. But so we did them at 2 in the morning because I wanted them fresh and, you know, I put them on milk overnight, and they're super white, flaky. If anybody out there never had flounder, it's actually really good. So we baked the next day. We baked 2 of the fish, and then we actually tore it up at Floribama Bar that night, and then came back at 2 or 3 in the morning, and we fried that third fish. So we ate them all, and
phenomenal.
So filleting these rays, how?
So the rays.
Take me through that.
We didn't fillet these.
I'm envisioning something completely different.
Yeah, well, what was it, 4 years ago we were down there last?
Yeah.
Then we actually kept the Atlantic stingrays. They're smaller, and they're like scallops. So you fillet, you get little back straps off of them, and we cut them up. And her grandpa was actually down there in a condo, and we put them in like spaghetti. And
spaghetti?
Yeah, and it was
just breaded them and fried them.
Nice.
It's just like a scallop, you know. But actually down there, they see a lot of them you buy in a store. They're labeled scallops, but it's technically an Atlantic stingray. So, but this trip we concentrated on the flounder and then the big southern ray, which get the biggest, I guess, in the area. Very fun. Clear water, and you never know what's around the next corner. Sharks, dolphins. There's, you know, it's full aquarium when you're driving around on the boat. It's very cool.
I definitely want to go shark fishing one day.
I couldn't get her out on the big water, you know, fishing, so we settled for bow fishing.
We did a deep sea fish. Oh, gosh, I think I was probably 13. I don't know. We hit some 10, 12-foot waves, and I think everyone but my grandpa got sick.
Oh, no.
But he caught a record grouper, so he was thrilled.
Makes up for it a little bit.
Yeah, but never again.
Never again? Have you tried at all, like going out on Winnebago when it's nice and windy? Like, have you tried that? Because that gets kind of tippy.
Yeah, he's usually
I'm picking the days wisely because I don't want to ruin them. It's bad enough the stuff I take my stepdad out in because it's like one day off, we're going.
Just get beat up.
Yeah, with Jace, I pick certain days because I hate to ruin them. young, and they never want to come back.
Oh, yeah, that's a very good idea. I remember when last year I went out with Fishing Magician out of Algoma.
Okay.
And it was for my birthday, and I'm going to go. It's my birthday. Like, right?
Heck yeah.
And he's like, well, we don't have to. It was, the bell was just, I don't know if someone else was ringing it, but the bell was just ringing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, man, we're just rocking back and forth. And there were six of us in the boat. Only one person got seasick, like seasick, probably like you did when you were 13.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, like, we're not turning around.
I think we all lost a day of our lives after that when we all just slept. It was rough.
Luckily, I'm knocking on wood, I've never got seasick.
Same here. Yeah, I've been lucky. Been on some rough stuff, but.
Yeah, you just, for me, every time I feel like I'm going to just look at one spot on the horizon. Just
as long as you can see the shore, that helps. Yeah,
but if you're looking at a bird or something, you just got waves upon waves, you can't see nothing.
Right.
Oh, man. But with the waves, speaking of waves like that, when you're in a, have you been layout boat duck hunting?
That's on my bucket list.
I've actually done something you haven't done.
No, I've shot divers and everything, but layout boat hunt is, the last couple of years I've been really thinking about doing it, just timing, getting up and getting right.
That reminded me with the waves, because it's like an actual layout boat. I call it, it's a UFO, and you just lay out, and you have a little back up there so the water doesn't splash on you, but you're right at the water level.
Sure.
Just cool. Waves, you just, if it's a 3-foot wave, you're just like, oh, all right.
Just this rolling
is,
with it.
This is fun. There's the decoy gone. There's the decoy, and it's gone. Yep. Nope.
Yeah, that's bucket list. Some old squads out there that'll.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe this year. We'll see.
It's definitely fun. You can do it with Gunner.
We could do it with Gunner.
We got Ranger.
Let's get Gunner. He needs a brother.
Yes, he does.
Maybe.
Oh, this is awesome. All right.
No, not maybe.
You got to. All right.
Okay, what else happened on this trip? So are you going to go back when you go back down to the Gulf, are you going to go bow fishing again? Or
I think we got to. Yeah, we're actually going with her brothers. She's got a brother in Colorado and another brother that lives close to us, and we're going a big three-family trip next year. And I think we'll do, got to do something, at least fishing. Bow fishing is really not that great in the winter down there, so I think we're going February. Mm-hmm. It really starts picking up in April, May, June, just kind of like up here.
Nice.
So we'll see. We'll figure out something. Mm-hmm.
Amanda, do you think I can ever get you to go noodling with me?
Oh, my God. I don't know.
I've been, every female that I have on here, I've been saying, let's go noodling. Because I'm doing it all girls noodling trip.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, I did it, and one of the girls got a 42-pounder.
Wow.
42-pound catfish. She just pulled right out of the. Yeah.
I would be all for having her go.
Yeah.
I would.
I'll go on a girls trip.
Yep. And it's intimidating right away. And if you're probably scared of the water, I am terrified of water. If I can't touch the bottom, I'm freaking out. Like, unless I'm down in the Virgin Islands where I can just float, pretty much walk on water down there.
Yeah.
But we went down to Southern Illinois, in Benton, Illinois, with Wren Lake. And, oh, man, that water is dirty. Mm-hmm. And you just stick your hand into this hole. I'm like, okay, as long as it's 5 feet, I can dive down and pull this thing out. My first one was only 18 pounds.
Wow. As long as nothing's nibbling on my toes, I think I'll be all right.
You can wear shoes. There's no way I'm going in any lake, any river without shoes on at all.
All right, then I'm down.
I'm a sensory person. Like, I need, if it's slimy or gross and grass. Nope.
I don't want the seaweeds in my toes. Mm-mm.
Oh, no. It's like when I'm kayaking. If I tip over in the weeds, I'm freaking out.
Game over.
Done.
Full panic.
Might as well just not come get me. It's not happening. Nope. Mm-hmm. Not got all the heebie-jeebies. Cannot do it. Okay, well, you guys are convincing me to go down to the Gulf.
You should.
I think I had...
It's amazing.
So, you know Jeb.
Yep.
I had a grouper with him. That was absolutely delicious.
Sure.
I believe I had a grouper with him. I'm sure it was. He feeds me so much food. But oh my goodness, she had it on the side. Rita had it on the side for an appetizer, and then she put it in like in this casserole that she made.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, it was butter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just biting right through it. It's better than any northern, better than any walleye, any perch, anything I've ever had around here.
I agree. Yeah. Like even that flounder, I couldn't picture, I couldn't say what it tasted like for our fish up here, but it was totally just different, so smooth, but phenomenal.
Nice.
Yeah.
So when we get back, we're going to talk about wolf hunting. We're not there yet.
All right.
Well, we're going to get there. I'm so excited about this, too, because it's I've never thought about it because in my head, it's like when a bear dies, they do the death moan. And it's like, I can't shoot a bear because I'm scared. That's the part that stops me is I'm scared of the death moan.
Yeah.
I feel like wolves would cry like a dog.
No. That's the biggest thing. You can't compare them to a dog. It's on another level.
My first coyote that I shot was just a little sad because they look like dogs to me. Mm-hmm. But when you actually think about it, they are killing dogs out there. They're killing chickens. They're killing everything that we love.
Yeah, when you see them with a fawn or a cub in their mouth, then kind of change your perspective.
Oh, but. Yeah. Yeah, I cannot do that. When I just thought, like I was saying, last weekend or this past week, just running around with getting my chickens. Oh, Sand Hill Cranes had two colts. And all of a sudden, the next day when I saw that coyote.
101, probably.
There's no more colts.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, why? Why are you eating my little babies? And then I think a fawn was born behind me because all of a sudden it started bleeding. I'm like, oh, meh, meh. I'm like, oh, little baby, I want to come find you and cuddle with you, but I can't. I definitely cannot do that. bow fishing. I was told to talk to you guys about bow fishing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jace, what do you think about bow fishing?
Since we talked about bow fishing with stingrays, what about your bow fishing experience, your mental health day?
Jace was a little sick about 2 weeks ago when the carp were spawning, just say.
We just said that for school.
So what did we do on your sick day?
So we woke up at like 6.
You don't have to do the whole story, Jace. Did we shoot some fish or not?
Yes. We shot...
Just riding out the school.
We shot 160.
Did we fill the boat up till we could? We just about sank Uncle Andy's boat. That's about what happened.
Four barrels.
Yeah. Four barrels? How big are these barrels? Like
150 gallon totes. And,
man.
Yeah, it was about 2,200 pounds of fish, we figured.
We would have filled the whole floor, but Andy didn't want anything on the floor at all.
Well, they're all slimy and gross too, aren't they?
Yeah.
That's what it gets for having two
nights of a boat.
He just
didn't want that because he had hydro turf on the floor.
Oh, did he? Yeah, that'd be kind of slimy. Yeah. You'd be down there scraping it with a toothbrush.
He had to power wash it that night.
Oh, well, the smell of it, too.
Yeah.
But did you have fun?
How many did you shoot? Do you remember?
I don't know.
A lot?
A lot.
A lot, though.
Yeah.
How many years have you been bow fishing? Is this your first year?
No, I think when the first year...
It's probably been about 4 years.
When I was 4 years old, because...
4 years old?
Yeah, because we went bow fishing that... Like, my first ever bow fishing was when we were at Alabama with you.
Oh, and yeah, he was actually in a golf the last time we were down there, and I took him instead of Amanda. She stayed with Shayna. And, Jace went out, and he shot, we shot those Atlantic stingrays and some cow noahs that trip.
Some cow noahs, nice.
My grandma, like Gigi?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, everybody knows this band is here, and there's a dog across the street. He's upset that the dog's not coming over to say hello. what about other? I was trying to read the side of your bow fishing boat.
Well, my old one was DOA. It was just a team I had because I used to do tournaments, and I had a really nice boat set up for it. And then kind of life changed. The kids were looking to do other stuff, and honestly, we wanted a fishing boat more dedicated.
Yeah.
So I ended up selling it, and that's where we're at.
We
built another one.
We built another one?
Another one maybe after this, too.
Never enough. Can you take me out for bow fishing, Jace?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right, we got to do that. When we get back, we will go to the interview with Ted Nugent, the wolf hunting, because we have to talk about that.
Sounds good.
When we get back, why am I mumbling my words right now? Stay tuned, please. I'm riding with a smile.
It's because my little baby love. You've decided to expand your family with a furry friend, so what's next? Do you have enough space? What are the right foods? Get the answers to these questions and more at WFHR's Petpalooza on the Southwood County Humane Society grounds, June 11th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Local pet experts will be on hand to answer all your questions, and the Humane Society will be open to discuss the adoption process. All this plus live music, food trucks, and food and direct sales vendors. It's a real petucation, June 11th from 10 to 4 for WFHR's Petpalooza.
Did you know Broadfest, the annual Memorial Day weekend event in Madison, is 40 years old? Its history is pretty rich, too, when the grocery store-owning Metcalf family set up a brat tent in the store parking lot to sell brats to customers. By 2004, more than 180,000 brats were being sold in the parking lot. Okay, so now can you guess how many gallons of ketchup are needed for the brats every year? 30 gallons? 45? 74 gallons? The answer coming up. These days, the fest isn't just about the brats.
You know, we have a kid zone, we have a farm zone, we have a sports zone. Just not really like anything else.
That's Michael Alexander, one of the organizers.
Roughly 150,000 of our closest and dearest friends.
And more numbers. 4 million brats over 40 years, raising $2.5 million, supporting more than 120 nonprofits. And the amount of ketchup used? 74 gallons. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam! Ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
With highs, 75 Sunday.
So, Uncle Ted, wolf conservation is a huge controversy in Wisconsin. What is your take on that?
You know, if we manage the wolf like we manage white-tailed deer, as in an annual harvest of the surplus to keep the habitat balanced and the structure balanced, there are more deer than ever. Certainly, we want wolves to be in optimal, thriving populations, but right now, they're off limits. They're untouchable because of the lie that they're endangered. They're not endangered. Right, right. They're overpopulated in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin. We should manage them within the carrying capacity of those resources and those habitats so that they maximize revenue generation and family hours of recreation. And again, Joel, I'm just a guitar player, but I figured this out as I was growing up in the deer woods of Michigan with my dad and Fred Bear. And I know that tradition is alive and well, but if the hunting families don't vote, then the anti-hunters and the animal rights liars and scammers, they will win. And currently they're winning with the wolf. So let's make sure that we vote and put pressure on our elected employees in the great state of Wisconsin to make sure that the wildlife, particularly the wolf, is in the asset column as a renewable resource instead of the liability column, which is a lie that they're endangered. They're not endangered. The whole state will be endangered if we don't manage wolves responsibly.
Yeah, and you know what? Right now, the wolves are decimating the populations of deer in northern Wisconsin. And I think sometimes, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I think sometimes people who utilize the outdoors want to just use the outdoors and be stewards in the outdoors and want to be left alone. And I think one of the things that's tough to encourage them to do sometimes...
That was my interview with Ted Nugent. First, I have to say that was the greatest interview.
Very cool.
I got to talk to Uncle Ted.
Sure.
That was the coolest. That was the coolest one. I may have had a sick day, a mental health day from work, and had a talk with Ted. It was the greatest thing
That's
ever.
Worth it.
But he is the guru of the outdoors, pretty much. Right? You can follow anything you can think of. You can ask him. He'll have an answer for it.
Yeah.
He is a very smart man.
We grew up watching him, and he knows him. I've actually hunted
He's
on his ranch.
Spirit of the Wild.
So, yeah. Isn't, like, the Talk with Ted thing, like, where you get to talk about, like, what you did or, like, hunting?
He might have a thing like that, Chase.
Yeah, he might. Yeah. You watch YouTube a lot?
Yeah.
Just a little.
It could be on there, probably. But
yeah, like, Talk with... Yeah, that's on there.
Yeah? Oh, that'd be perfect. We should get on there. Mm-hmm. Maybe. But you went wolf hunting, correct?
Three times, yeah, I did.
Three times?
It's a tough animal. It's still on the top of my list, but I did two trips to Ontario, I believe in 19 and 2020. 80 hours, dark to dark, dropped off on a snowmobile, and you're in a pop-up line, dark to dark. It was brutal. It was February, cold as heck. And, of course, I was the only guy at camp that never seen one or... Had a shot or anything, never seen anything. So I went out 2 years in a row, still nothing. And then 2021 came and Wisconsin reopened their season. So I put in for a tag and wouldn't you know, I got a tag, which is pretty crazy because it was very limited. And that was on like a Sunday night. Monday was the hunt.
Oh, geez.
And I was working, of course, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Well, long story short, my buddy of mine shot one on Monday And I called him to congratulate him, and he said, "Hey, don't get up here. There's deep snow. Let's see if you can have a sick day." So I took a mental health day on a Tuesday. I worked all day, and I went home, grabbed the gun, some warm clothes, drove way up north, and we hunted hard from as soon as I got there. Say it was 8, 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. We hunted from 9 till 9 the next day, because by 10 o'clock the quota was made. And it was shut down. So the season only lasted those 2 days.
Yeah.
And because the quota was obviously met and it was exceeded a little bit. And yeah, we hunted hard as heck, to say the least. I don't know how many miles I should have tracked it, but I drove home halfway to my camper and slept that morning. And I woke up with the worst leg cramps that you can ever imagine, because, you know, we didn't have any food, barely any water, just hunted. And
trudging through that snow, too. I can't even imagine. Yeah. I get tired just going from my tree stand and back.
And it was like 24 inches of snow, of course, up there. So
you're using snowshoes and everything, though?
Didn't even have time. Just,
goodness.
Just bare minimum. Just
so you just got a nice workout.
It was a workout, but I thought I needed to go to the ER the next day. Like, I never had cramps like that, and I'm like panicking by myself in my little camper, freezing.
Oh, no. Well, that was after a 12-hour shift and all that drive time, and that
you gotta
was brutal.
Do it. You got to do it.
You do. If I had an opportunity, I definitely would do that.
And it's amazing, the amount of sign and stuff you see in Wisconsin. Like Nuge was saying, it is quite overpopulated, way more than people think or what anybody else wants to hear. It's definitely a problem, you know, even further south of the state, but way up north. Yeah, the deer herd, obviously, the last bunch of years. I mean, you can talk to anybody that say that their herd has been hurting.
Mm-hmm.
So same thing with Ontario. They're quite overrun up there, but my luck just wasn't on my side. So maybe we'll get back down the road and
I don't know much about the population of wolves. So how do you any idea around about how many tags were out there?
I'm trying to think. The quota was only like 100, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and about 200 were shot.
Mm-hmm.
And the tribes had 86, I want to say, something like that they had. And then the rest of us all got the, you know, I think it was like, say, 100.
Yep.
And then, it was overshot because by the time they have to give 24-hour notice. Mm-hmm. So I knew my zone was already closed the next day, but doesn't matter. You can hunt till 10 o'clock the next day. So we tried, and just didn't work. But, yeah, not a lot. But at that time, I think the DNR was saying there was a little over 2,000 wolves in the state.
Oh, nice.
But I think it's more than that. But
well, hopefully we can get some more
it'd be fun.
Quotas this year and everything.
Yeah, you never know.
Well, we're getting close to the end. Fantastic to talk about the wolf hunting. I'm very excited. Hopefully we get to have you back and talk more about that with a successful hunt.
Sure.
Jace, you got anything to say to young kiddos out there that should be out there hunting and fishing?
Yeah, they should try going turkey hunting.
Try going turkey hunting?
That's it, though?
And they should also go like salmon fishing or bow fishing.
Yeah, should pretty much just get out there
just
and don't
everything.
Be scared,
yeah,
right?
Just go fishing.
Just go do it.
Go do it. Yeah.
Yeah? All right, Amanda, what about you? What do you got? You going to go out turkey
hunting? With you. Well, yeah. Get all the kids with us. It's amazing.
Were you nervous right away to have the kids out there with?
No, because, I mean, we talked so much about gun safety and everything like that before he went out. So we knew he was going to be comfortable with it. And, you know, he was ready. He was so ready.
He practices a lot. He's in the backyard daily shooting his bow, either with a bow fishing arrow or a regular arrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
BB guns, you name it.
Yeah. So proud.
A couple days before that, we went to McMiller to do trap. And we also, we shot a turkey to see how it, like, felt before we actually shot it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you took it. Like, you handle it just fine.
Yeah, like we put a piece of paper on like a metal thing.
Mhm.
And then that's where we got the shot. So Dad shot first just to test it, cuz we haven't shot that.
Yeah.
Whose gun?
We're just patterning your gun.
I shot my mom's. And it's a 20 gauge. That's what I shot.
Oh, perfect. That's what I started out with too. Mm-hmm. Well, I absolutely loved this episode. It was perfect. We have to have all of you on again, and we can talk about camping.
Plenty to talk
time.
About.
We get the whole family in here to talk all about it.
Definitely.
Well, I appreciate everybody listening. Get out there, go hunting. I think there's 1 week left of turkey hunting.
Yeah.
And then we got game fish. We got walleye. We got all the things.
Everything.
I could go another time because I have two turkey tags and I still have one left over.
Nice. Well, thank you everybody. Have a wonderful night. Stay safe. See you next time.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible.
My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's WFHR Association.
Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News, talk, and sports on